been away for a couple of days with my godchildren, Alex and Katie, and we had a great time with them, and no phones, couldn't phone anyone, couldn't get anyone, had no signal. There were six of us, and none of us could receive a signal. We all had different networks, but none of us could get a signal. So we had 3 days away without a phone call. But anyway, on this time away, the girls decided that they would take me on a 50-minute walk. I think they forgot how old I am. They decided on my behalf and Avril's that they would do this 50-minute walk with us. So they took us through all these muddy fields that they could think of, all through the grass, and finally we came to a place called Dovedale. And I don't know whether you've ever been to it. It's just in Derbyshire. It's about 40 minutes up there. And there's a river flows through it. And a part of the journey of this walk, there were some stepping stones. And you can walk, obviously, on the stepping stones to get to the other side. The problem is, of course, there's only one place. So I'm waiting here. And, of course, there are other people waiting there. And the British is, you go first, and you go first, so you both stand there like being on a roundabout and nobody does anything. But anyway, eventually we walk over these stepping stones to get to the other side. And I was just trying to find the picture because George and Sharon downloaded all the pictures that we took, and they're in that laptop. Because Avril is on one of the stones, and she's looking down at the water as if to say, I hope I'm not going to slip or Eddie is not going to push me. Now, there are some things I would do. Suicide is not one of them. But Katie or Alex has got a fantastic photograph. I'm just trying to find it. Of Avril just looking down like that as if to say, I hope these stones are going to take my weight. But they're stepping stones to get to the other side. And obviously stepping stones to get back. And that's what God wants to talk about this morning to us. Our lives are a journey of stepping stones. God has called us a living stone. A living stone. Not a dead stone, but a living stone. And I love the message. It says, welcome to the living stone, the source of life. The workmen took one look at it and they threw it out. But God had it as the highest place of honor. I want you to know that it doesn't matter what men say. It doesn't matter what men think. God has put Jesus as the highest place of honor. God has exalted him above all of us. And I want to praise God this morning that I belong to a living stone this morning. A solid rock. I believe there's an old chorus that says, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And that's why I spoke that word in communion this morning. That at the right time, God opened up your eyes. That you might believe, not in a religion, but in a person this morning. In a living, dynamic relationship with a living stone this morning. We as Christians worship a living God. A living God. And just as God calls him the chief cornerstone, hallelujah, he calls us stones too. Because everybody knows that to build a house, you need good foundations. Everyone knows that. Somebody had to build the house you've just moved into. Now you might be thinking there's an awful lot of work to do in that house, but you trust the house. You get a survey done, don't you? When you buy a house, you get a survey done to make sure it's good. When we first came here and we went to New Oscott, we put down for a house, and then we got the survey done, and, well, some of the things that this guy had obviously done was not suitable. And in the middle, I think, of the conservatory, or I'm not sure which room, was it the conservatory? He dropped a manhole in for the sewerage. And then he covered it with tiles. Now, obviously, Abbott wasn't thrilled about that. Basically said, that's unacceptable. And then we went into one of the bedrooms, and there was, you could see it was all damp. And I think they'd had a burst in the shower or something. Anyway, there were things going on he'd installed. In the end of the day, Avril decided this house was not the house for her. Because she wasn't sure on the foundations or the house that was as it said it was on the brochure. And God wants us to know that He has built a house which we can honestly say is well worth the deposit if we are relying upon Jesus Christ as our Saviour. The Bible, in fact, says to us that those who belong to Jesus will never be disappointed. That doesn't mean to say everything will go well with us. It just means to say that the person who He has put His faith in, completely put His faith in, will never disappoint Him. Because the Bible calls Him this chief cornerstone this morning. Now, a cornerstone in modern architecture is a place based at the base of one corner where it binds two walls together and symbolizes the foundation on which the entire building rests. And the Bible talks that Christ is exactly like. The Bible tells us that He has brought both Gentile and non-Gentile together. Together. The Bible tells you in the book of Galatians, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. We are all one in Christ Jesus. God has broken down the barrier that we can all come in and live on that chief cornerstone. Some scholars all think that this stone is like an ark. It holds the rest of the building together. And our Lord certainly meets that description. He is the topmost stone of the ark. And without Him, there would be no strength or cohesion in the building. We need to build our lives upon a living stone this morning. I want you to get excited this morning that your God is a living stone. He is the chief cornerstone. You can put your faith, your trust in that cornerstone this morning. A third view on the stone is that it is a capstone, as in a pyramid, occupying the highest place in the structure. It is the only stone of that shape in the structure. Its shape determines the shape of the whole entire pyramid. It is the last stone to be put into place. And so Christ is known as the capstone of the church, the truly unique stone. The church gets its character from Him. And when He returns, our building will be complete. That's why Jesus, that's why God says, they rejected Him. The builders threw it out. But God has honored Him. God has elected Him. He is, my friend, the source of life this morning. And without Him, there is no other life. You're building on another foundation, as Simon prayed this morning about the Spirit of God, having the true Spirit of God inside us. We need to understand that, listen, the Holy Spirit has been given to us, the true source of life this morning. And if we're building our lives on anything else, then we are not on a good foundation this morning. We are not on a good foundation. We have to build everything we have on the source of life. Because God has set Him in the highest place. This is what the Bible says. Look, I am setting a stone in Zion. A cornerstone in the place of honor. Friend, my God has put Jesus Christ the highest of all heights. Hallelujah. There is no one like Him. As far as God is concerned, my friend, this morning, nobody, nobody, whether there be thing above or below, is higher nor greater than our Savior this morning. And He is your source this morning. You can stand on that solid rock this morning. And Peter wants these people to know who he's writing to throughout the area of Bithynia. He wants them to know no matter what you're going through, no matter what trial or temptations or whatever is happening in the world, if you are building your life on Jesus, you are standing on a foundation that cannot be shaken. Peter is seeing us as a living stones on a chief cornerstone. Hebrews 12 verse 2 says, looking unto who? Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured a cross, he despised the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of God, completed his work. Friend, I keep going on about this morning, but we're moving on. But there is only one stone in which we are to build our lives upon, and that is Christ. And how are we to do that, though? That is the problem. How are we to build our lives upon this stone? Because this is what it says. Present yourselves as building stones for the construction of a sanctuary vibrant with life. You have to be a sanctuary vibrant with life this morning. Not death, because our God is a living God. He's a living stone. Therefore, you and I are living stones. We have to be dynamic, vibrant people. But we are a construction. Now, a construction is a work that's in progress. Fine, we were blessed that, as I say, that those stepping stones had been completed in the sense that we didn't have to jump the last stone, but the last stone actually took us to the other side of the bank. But Peter is saying, listen, you've been born again by the source of life. You now are not dead, you are alive. I want you to know, he said, that you are now a dynamic people. And you've come into a relationship with a living God. And there's a construction to be built. In the Old Testament, you see, let's spend a moment or two on this. Don't know whether you can see that. Can you see that? Well, that's where you and I were in the Old Testament days. And they used to come and they used to bring their sacrifice and their altar, and they would come into the brazen altar and the brazen laver. The brazen altar speaks on Jesus Christ, by the way. The laver speaks on sanctification, because that's where they used to wash their hands. And this priest used to come, and the people would stand outside there. They were not allowed in to that holy place. The priest would come in there, he would take their sacrifice, he would put it upon the brazen altar. There he would wash. And then the priest would sometimes go into a holy place. And then once a year, the priest would go, or the chief priest would go into the holies of holies. This priest couldn't go into there. Only the high priest could go into the holies of holies. And this was the sanctuary, the dwelling place of the Old Testament people. So they would come and they would go and they'd bring their sacrifice and it would be dealt with in here. They wouldn't be allowed to go into the altar of incense. They wouldn't, which speaks of course as Christ our intercessor. They wouldn't be allowed to go into the table of showbread where the bread was, and we've broken bread this morning. They wouldn't be allowed to do that. You see, their tabernacle was a holy place for God in which only the priest was allowed to go into. Some of you who are going to do the New Testament survey and the Old Testament survey will be dealing with this and much more. They could never though enter into the holies of holies. They could never go right up to the mercy seat, right where God was. Their construction, their building of their lives could never do that. I want you to take a look at that diagram this morning as we move on, because it is so significant. You see, the old dispensation was a Levitical priesthood. And a priest would offer sacrifices for the people. But the people themselves were never able to go into that sanctuary. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 13, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips. Giving thanks unto his name. Why does Paul say this? He says this for this significant reason. Let me go back to that diagram, if I can. They were not allowed to go into the brazen altar. They were not allowed to go to the brazen laver, their sanctification. They were not allowed to go to the holy place where they could alter the bread, the table of showbread, or the altar of incense. They were certainly never allowed to go into the holies of holies. They never had a relationship with God as the high priest did. But God said, that's changed for you and me. You and I do go into the holies of holies. Every time we pray to God, we're in the holies of holies. We have taken bread this morning at the table of showbread. We can go right into the very heart of the presence of God this morning because we have a sanctuary in which God has brought us into His presence this morning. Paul says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace this morning. The Old Testament people stood outside and they gave the lamb or they gave the bull. But God says, I've done away with that now. I've made my Son the chief cornerstone. And everyone who's living in the chief cornerstone has entrance to go right through. Right through the very presence of God. I'm going to put that back on because I want you to get this message. You now go from here. You're no longer a sinful man. You go right to the very presence of here. Every time you're praying to God, you are going to the Shekinah glory of God. Into the holies of holies. Because you and I have been delivered from the penalty and the power of sin because of a living God this morning. I am so glad, I can rejoice this morning, that my Father in heaven has opened up the access into His very presence this morning, and I can come just as I am without one plea, but that His blood was shed for me and that Christ bids me come to Him. This morning, that's done away with. All of that is gone. The new has come. And I have immediate access to God in Jesus. I have the approach to God has been made forever open by the perfect sacrifice of Jesus. The saints of God have the privilege and the responsibility of interceding for each other as we pray for each other. Each Christian has the responsibility of a meaningful priesthood representing God to the people and witnessing and teaching. Let me tell you, there is a priesthood now. It's you and I. And we have a responsibility, just as they would give their offering to the priest and they would watch the priest kill the lamb. They would watch the priest then make intercession for their sin. They would watch the priest then pray for the people. They would watch the priest do this. Thank God it's been done away with. I'm now that person. You are a royal priesthood. That's what the Bible calls you. You are a priest. You are a royal priesthood. Because you belong to a King of Kings and Lord of Lords this morning. And because you belong to Jesus this morning, those four things are ever living for you. Hallelujah this morning. We knew what we had in Jesus this morning. The access into a very living, powerful presence of God this morning. So how do we do it? The Bible says, here's what I want you to do, says Peter. I want you to take your everyday, your ordinary life, your sleeping, your eating, your going to work, your walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. How do I get these stepping stones? I'm a priest now. How do I make those stepping stones to get from one side of the bank to the other? Because every day I'm going to make my life, my ordinary everyday life, a sacrifice before Him. And how I speak, how I behave. I will pray for the people that I meet with. God only wants me to take my ordinary life, sacrifice it to Him each day, and allow Him to bring that progress of sanctification. God help us this morning. We're not going to be long this morning. But God wants you to know this morning that if you belong to Him, you are a royal priesthood. And there's an expectancy for you to be a priest. To bring your sacrificial offering to God. Whatever it is. I wonder how we behave at work. I wonder what we watch. I wonder how we talk to one another. I wonder if our everyday life is pleasing to God. Because God has wants us, our life, to be vibrant this morning. God wants us to be alive and vibrant. Vibrant because God is alive. You see, God is not building something temporary. God is building an eternal church. He's built something that He calls a spiritual house. There's nothing carnal in this house. Nothing that will decay. When you get to heaven, you'll be in a place which is pure. And God is preparing those stepping stones for us right now so that when we get to the other side, which is glory, our house, our new house, our spiritual household will be pure. And Paul tells us that you and I are to be vibrant, dynamic people. And second of all, we are to serve as holy priests, offering Christ-approved lives unto God. I want to ask you as we leave, we finish now. Is God happy with us? It is to serve as holy priests, offering Christ-approved lives to God. It's to be dynamic. The last Sunday of the month, we're going to spend the whole evening just dynamically worship and praising God, because praising God is part of our priestly sacrifice. Do you know that? Worshipping God and praising God, not singing songs. That evening's not about singing songs. It's about coming and say, God, we haven't got an agenda. No, there's no preaching. We're just going to come into your house, God. We're just going to worship you however we've been gifted. If you want to dance, you'll be able to dance. If you want to just stand where you are singing, God is just saying, worship me with your life-giving sacrifice on how I've created you. And that evening, we're just going to open the whole place up. We're going to be led in worship and in praise. And we're going to spend time with a few churches in the area. We're going to come together. We're going to take communion, because communion is part of our sacrifice to God. It's part of remembering who we are as a people. And there's going to be place for prayer. So, because you see, you remember the four things I put up, or hopefully you have the four things. One of the four things that we put up is that we are, as priests, to pray for one another. The priest used to pray for the people. Well, you're the priest now, so you will be praying for each other. There'll be a time set apart in which you will be able, if you want, prayer, to quietly go into this room at the back, and it will be nicely put out, and there will be people who will sit with you and just pray with you. It's part of abundant praise. Because we want to be a people who are priestly worship and sacrificing to God. That's one of our... Some people say it's one of our duties. I don't believe that. I believe it's one of our privileges, is to come in front of God and praise and worship Him. He's opened up heaven's life gate for us this morning, friends. I don't stand outside that sanctuary no more. I walk straight through the other end, because it's been broken. The curtain has been torn in two this morning, and you have access into the very heart throne of God. And God says, right now, you are my priests. You're not just a born again person. God called you a priest. I'm going to put them four things back up, and please, if you just put that up with an old man, because I want to tell you something. The thrill of knowing that I, as a priest, have access into the presence of God. And that evening, I'm going to go, come here. I've no agenda. I'm not doing anything. I'm going to come in here at 6. Is it 6 or 6:30? It's 6. I'm going to come in here at 6 o'clock. And Kevin or whoever will strike it up. And I will have no agenda. I'm going to come immediate access into Jesus' presence. And I'm going to thank Him that I have been made perfect through His sacrifice as I take communion. And I'm going to have the privilege of interceding before God for people who want prayer, and praying for myself, and just having an open time of worship where there are no restrictions. Sunday mornings there is restrictions. And we're just going to worship God the way we are. I can't remember if it was last week or the week before when Kay broke out in worship. I tell you what, it was like a touch of heaven listening to her voice just singing. I tell you, really, that was lovely what I heard that Sunday morning. I went home that Sunday thinking, wow, that was beautiful. Do you know why it was beautiful? It was beautiful because it came from a heart of worship. The Bible says, the song says, I'm coming back to her. I don't know what that song is, by the way. I can't remember what it is. But I'm coming back to a heart of worship. And when people just suddenly want to break forth and they've got no inhibitions. Friend, it doesn't matter who's sitting beside you. They should be worshipping God the way they want. I'm trying to encourage you to come out that night. Katie is going to be writing to Ward End this week. She's going to be inviting Ward End to come. And we already know that the church across the road here, they're going to come and they're going to join with us. Because you see, they are priests as well. Everybody who knows Jesus Christ as their Savior is a priest. The Bible says so. You are a royal priesthood. Don't argue with me, argue with God. God says you are now a royal priesthood. And that is the wonderful things that God is going to give us that evening, hopefully, as we praise Him, we worship Him. And you know, when we leave it, all we'll have done is took our everyday life. That's all. We'll have just come as we are. And we'll have just stood here as we are and just said, God, this is who I am. I'm not pretending to be anything else. This is who I am. But I've come to give you a sacrifice of praise for an hour and a half or how long it is. And so let me conclude as we finish this meeting this morning. Those are the two things that our life should be about. Those are the two stepping stones. Make your life vibrant. Make your life dynamic. Serve Christ. Peter finishes with these words. This is why Peter wants us to serve Christ. I don't know about you, but when I get to heaven, do you think we're going to have some of them? No. I want to honestly ask you this morning, as born again Christians, are we living a life where we're going to go one day and have regrets? That we didn't fulfill the function of our priesthood? We didn't worship God the way we were created to worship God? There's a day coming in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 when you and I will stand before Jesus. And God will ask us to give an account of what we have done for Him. And if He turns around and says, do you know, Mary Golden Gay, that you just gave your everyday, ordinary working life to me, He's going to say, well done, Mary. Well done. You gave me your ordinary working day life, and you allowed me to use it for my glory. You became a priesthood. You worshipped me. You had access into my presence. You did those four things. That's all I asked of you, Mary. I didn't ask you to climb the mountains. I didn't ask you to swim the seas. I simply said, Mary, live your everyday, ordinary life for my glory. I think it's a song called No Regrets. I hope I get to heaven with no regrets. I hope my everyday life is one that Jesus will be very proud of. I hope you'll have no regrets in your school as teacher. I hope you'll have no regrets in the place that you work. Because in the end of the day, we are representing Jesus. We are a royal priesthood. And finally, this thing is, I want Jesus to be proud of me. Do you? No, seriously. Do you really want Jesus to be proud of you this morning? The Bible says you are a living stone. And if you are to offer up a holy sacrifice to God, C, the Bible says you will have no regrets. And B, He will be proud of us. I can think of nothing further of higher accommodation than God's blessing on you. The verse we started off said this. He was the chief cornerstone in which the builders rejected, but God exalted Jesus. He didn't care less about the people who rejected Him. He said to Jesus, that's not your worry. I'm the one who exalts. And if you've got God's favour over your life, that's all that counts. It's not everyday ordinary people. In the end of the day, it is God's recommendation. When you give your life over to God, He takes control. He works things out for His glory. We're now finished. You see, men's hopes are dead hopes. That's why you're not. There's a song which says, be thou my vision. Riches I need not, nor man's empty fame. But I wonder if we do need man's approval. The Bible says we don't need anyone's approval but God. Because men's hopes are dead hopes. Like cut flowers, they bloom a while and then fade and die. The Christian hope is fresh. It's fruitful. Because it's a living hope. It's purchased by a living Christ. It's promised in a living word. We have a living building. God is building a temple out of living stones. And we are privileged to be part of those living stones. We are built on Jesus Christ. And there is no way that temple can ever be destroyed. Friend, I hope you're excited this morning. Just putting that conclusion up. I belong to a living God. I'm not a rolling stone. I'm a living stone. I'm a part of a stone on that lovely bridge to get me across to the other side. And my construction is quite simply this. I'm going to offer up my everyday life to Christ. Praying that He might use me for His glory. That I will have no regrets. That He'll be proud of me. Because I worship a living Christ with a living hope promised in a living word.